Today's second lesson comes from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord. Do you guys know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is? Some of you may be familiar. I see heads nodding. So he is an astrophysicist. He's an author. He's the director of Hayden Planetarium in New York City. All around, fairly smart guy. He says this: recognize that the very molecules that make up your body, the atoms that construct the molecules, are traceable to the crucibles that were once the centers of high-mass stars that exploded their chemically rich guts into the galaxy, enriching pristine gas clouds with the chemistry of life, so that we are all connected to each other biologically, to the Earth chemically, and to the rest of the universe atomically. It's not that we are better than the universe. We are part of the universe. We are in the universe, and the universe is in us. Does that make you feel very, very big? Or does that make you feel very, very small?
Yes.
Both. Does that make you feel connected to the world in a new way? Maybe a way you haven't thought about before. What strikes me about that is how fundamentally and elementally we are connected to the earth and to one another. We belong to each other, and we belong to the earth, but also we are each other, and we are the earth. So the well-being of our neighbors matters. When our community is healthier, we are all healthier. When our shared land, air, and water is protected, we can build healthier communities. As I was preparing for this message, my green Bible, it's a real thing, reminded me that the Hebrew words for Adam, or man, and Adama, or soil, indicate a familial connection. They sound very similar. It's a powerful reminder that the life of people comes from the land. And we belong to the earth more than it can really ever belong to us. But few of us live lives connected to the earth anymore. We buy food from the grocery stores rather than from farmers directly or even our backyards. We eat fruits and vegetables all year long without regard to the season or the location that they're grown in. We prefer cheap food and cheap goods rather than ethical practices or protected workers. And as we've lost touch with the rhythms of the earth, we have lost touch with the connection to the Creator that made it. We've also lost our connections to one another, but we belong to each other, and we belong to the earth. We are each other, and we are the earth. That is why, for me, creation care is so important to my Christian faith walk, because I am called to love God, and I am called to love neighbor. I am called to live in community. And when I live with a particular emphasis on sustainability and justice in my own home, I am doing both of those things, loving God and loving neighbor. So how we live matters. How we eat and how we shop matters. How we use energy and drive our cars and how long we take showers matters. It's hard to imagine an action that doesn't affect our neighbors in some way, in space or in time. Our neighbors are those that live right here among us, or our neighbors can be our grandchildren and our grandchildren's grandchildren. Accepting that fact can feel like an overwhelming responsibility, absolutely. Or it can lead to a more faithful way of living. As Presbyterians, you have social witness policies. There's one called Restoring Creation for Ecology and Justice. It's a beautiful document, and it is very long. And in it, it says, quote, the love of neighbor, particularly the least of Christ's brothers and sisters, requires action to stop the poisoning, the erosion, the wastefulness that are causing suffering and death. In this critical time of transition to a new era, God's new doing may be discerned as a call to earthkeeping, to justice, and to the community. We recognize and accept restoring creation as a central concern of the church to be incorporated into its life and mission at every level. That was written and adopted by the 202nd General Assembly in 1990. So that was a minute ago. Now, I'm a United Methodist. I was raised Catholic, but my husband's a United Methodist pastor, so I guess that makes me Methodist. And we have similar social principles. And they're shorter, but through those statements, which are beautifully written, they're not always practiced. And worse, they're often ignored or outright challenged in the local church context. So lest you think I'm picking on you, Presbyterians, you're in very good company. I chose today's scripture because a friend and mentor of mine who works in New York City with United Methodist Women recently taught me that we've got this whole earth stewardship thing backwards, and it starts at a really early age. So who here memorized or learned John 3:16 as a small child, or who, you know, maybe remembers that being the very first verse that they could say from memory? Sure, that's something we share, right? And so, you know, translations vary, of course, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Probably the most widely known verse to Christians and non-Christians alike. And it seems really simple, right? God came to earth to give us eternal life. No argument there. We've got some agreement. Even though that language is very gender exclusive and maybe a little heavy on atonement theology. But there's another way to think of that verse, starting with the word world, for God so loved the world. The Greek word in this translation for world is actually cosmos, which means all of creation or the sum of everything. So that's not just our tiny blue planet, but the sun and the moon and the stars and all of the galaxies hidden out in the Big Dipper, quasars, supernovas, black holes, dark matter, that is God's world. And so is this little tiny patch of earth here in Marion, Illinois. This is all of God's creation. We belong to something bigger than we can even imagine. And we belong to the dirt underneath our feet right now. We are the universe, and we are the earth. Notice how the verse does not use anthropos, or man. For God so loved man. It uses the word world. There's a difference there. We are not the center of the universe, but a small part of it. If we remember back to the creation stories in Genesis, we know that humans were not created first, but last. Humans are not all that God loves. Cosmos has a second meaning. It also means the order of things. Greek philosophy loved to contemplate the order of things, from geometry to architecture to the ideal human form in sculpture. Cosmos refers to the way things are ordered at every level, the human body, the family structure, changing seasons, political systems, all of it is interconnected. Social systems depend on natural systems. And the former are only sustainable if they permit the health of the latter to continue. And if you're familiar with Greta Thunberg, the young environmental advocate from Sweden who recently spoke to the UN, here's what she says about that. Quote, people are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We're in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of economic growth. How dare you? We belong to each other, and we belong to the earth. We are each other, and we are the earth. So I want to wrap up by going to the second verse in John today, which said, indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So the word save from Greek is sozo, which can mean rescue, liberate, keep from harm, heal, or preserve. What if we viewed our role in our community as healers or as peacemakers, just like Jesus? Would that change the mission work that we engage in? Are you aware that we're mere miles from an unlined coal ash pond that can leach heavy metals into our drinking water, among other undesirable things, when the ash pile gets wet? Do you know that our brothers and sisters of color are more likely to suffer from asthma, missed days of school, missed days of work, respiratory difficulties, reproductive challenges, cardiovascular stress, because they live near coal-fired power plants, which is the way that most of our energy in Illinois comes to us? Have you considered the announcement this week of the Wildcat coal mine closure in my community, how that might affect your neighbors? Where are they going to find new jobs? How will the town cope with the loss of tax and tax base for their schools and for their public safety? How can we make a just transition for these fossil fuel workers? Environmental justice should be our mission field, and we can start the healing and the rescue and the liberation right here in Marion, Illinois, because we belong to each other, and we belong to the earth. We are each other, and we are the earth. God loves us. God loves God's amazing creation. God sent God's Son to show us how to live and how to heal. And we can have eternal life, both in body and in spirit, if we take care of this earth right here, because we are the earth. And when we do that, we care for one another for eternity.